It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
Most people would agree that the pumpkin is the king of fall vegetables. Its popularity begins to rise as autumn temperatures drop. Pumpkin frenzy hits its peak with the appearance of Halloween jack-o'-lanterns and continues its high ratings in vegetable popularity polls right through the holiday baking season. Pumpkin muffins, bread, and pies are almost as abundant as the numerous pumpkin displays in markets and roadside stands. And unless you have unlimited garden space and lots of water, you'll be better off purchasing a pumpkin or two rather than growing your own. Pumpkin pie purists insist on the sugar pie hybrids. These small, round pumpkins are supposedly best for baking because they're solid, moist, and sweet, and are a bit easier to peel than the larger varieties. However, I once learned a well-kept culinary secret from a professional pumpkin grower back east. Most commercially produced pumpkin pies are made from butternut squash because it seems to make a creamier, lighter filling. No matter, for the pumpkin has a proud nutritional history. It was one of the major survival foods of the early day colonists, who learned from the Native Americans to use the versatile vegetable as a basis for baked goods, soups, and even beer. Opposite the little sugar pie pumpkins on the size scale are the big giant varieties raised by gardeners who feel the need to claim the biggest pumpkin in the universe. You know those pumpkins. Photographs usually show the proud grower standing beside the family auto, which is parked in the shade of the prize-winning specimen. It's sort of a Midwest version of those giant redwoods postcards of the 1930s. I'm sure Peter Pumpkin Eater used a giant Atlantic pumpkin to house his wandering wife, and that the carpenter used a chainsaw to cut the shell into a fairy tale split level with exposed beam ceilings. And speaking of fairy tales, guess what kind of pumpkin the fairy godmother zapped into a carriage for a servant girl turned princess? In reality, the most popular pumpkin is the jack-o'-lantern type. These large but manageable pumpkins sport a thinner shell for easier carving and a large cavity that allows space for a candle. The hardest part of making a jack-o'-lantern is cleaning out all the seeds and stringy stuff from the middle. There are kits for carving fancy faces in your pumpkin that come with little scoops, saws, and patterns you can transfer. With patience and a bit of artistic know-how, these lowly squashes can become incredible works of art, a far cry from the first jack-o'-lanterns created from a ghostly Irish folktale. Seems an unsavory character named Jack was denied entrance into either heaven or hell and was doomed to walk the dark nights with a glowing coal placed inside a hollowed turnip to light his way. Irish immigrants arriving in America with the Jack of the Lantern ghost story found pumpkins cheaper and easier to carve, and thus the jack-o'-lantern became an autumn tradition. Modern-day jack-o'-lanterns often aren't carved at all, as the pumpkin shell becomes a canvas for painting faces or autumn scenes. The pumpkins last longer and are easier to deal with, but somehow painted pumpkins don't say boo to me. Rather, they convey, have a nice day or night. Give me a lighted and garishly grinning head, floating in the black night, backed up by the sound of wind in the trees, and an occasional owl hoot. Now that's pumpkin perfection.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.